about the country that we live in and the blessings that we have. If you've traveled abroad, overseas, let's say, or even to certain portions of cities, and even in the United States, we realize just how blessed we are compared to so many out there. And there are nations where there's great hunger, a lot of disease with no access to doctors, whatever it might be, God has blessed our nation greatly. And next week, our nation celebrates the holiday of Thanksgiving. And that's one of man's holidays that we fully embrace because it's all about giving thanks, which ties in with the Bible. It ties in with God's will of what we should be doing. And that day of Thanksgiving brings good memories of gathering with our families, with our friends, to enjoy the bounty, a meal, and fellowship. You know, with those that we like spending time with, but also just to be grateful for all that God has done. And yet many people overlook the meaning of Thanksgiving Day. You know, they can focus elsewhere. There's a lot of distractions in life, so we have to keep that in mind. But being thankful is a characteristic that God is developing in us, his children. He wants us to consider that. Therefore, we must be thankful every day of the year, not just this week and then on Thanksgiving Day, but every single day for the rest of our lives, we want to consider what God recommends there. Let's begin today in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. And we see that the Bible reveals that it's important to consider the blessings that God has given us. We have so much to be thankful for. Now, we'll just mention verses 1 and 2 here in 1 Thessalonians 5 to get into some of the other statements that Paul makes. But in verse 1, it says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." So everyone since his time that reads the Bible has read these statements. And it reminds us that, you know, it's going to come one day. And whether it's in our age, our era, or not, we better be ready so that when Christ does return, that he will count us worthy to escape the things and to be in his kingdom. Now let's skip down to verse 14 and read some of the admonitions considering that Christ wants us to work on these before his return. Verse 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." So here's a list of items, and we'll read a few more, that we need to be working on as Christians. Verse 15, "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all." So common practices that we should all be willing to follow. Verse 16, "Rejoice always." So as we think about some of these statements here, I mean, we all want to be happy. And here he's reminding us that we should do that because at times we can forget about rejoicing and be negative or depressed. And so God is encouraging his children to have this outlook. Verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." In other words, don't just pray like, "Oh, I got my 5 minutes of prayer in and I'm done." No, have that continually on your mind. Not just when you get on your knees in morning, noon, and night, as David did, but all throughout the day. You can be driving here or talking there and ask for God's guidance in what to say or his protection when you're in a dangerous situation. So pray without ceasing. Verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Verse 19, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil." So here's just a general list of items that tie in with the rest of the Bible that are important for us to follow. But my focus is here, and even though all these items are very important, I want to focus on verse 18. "In everything give thanks." Everything. Not just some things, but in everything. And so this is an area for us to be growing in, and it's easy for us to overlook these four simple words. And even though we may try to, there's times when we're not thankful in our lives, and God is asking us to improve. So my title today is Developing a Thankful Heart. A few synonyms for the word thank is acknowledge, recognize, show appreciation, or to be grateful. So those words describe what God is asking us to do. The Greek word for give thanks means to express gratitude, to express it. And so this is telling us that we need to speak up and share what we feel. Expressing things sometimes is difficult, you know, depending on our personality and who we might say it to, and it can be hard. And God is saying, if that is difficult, or if you don't do it enough, really work on doing better. So in everything, give thanks, meaning we don't leave out an area. You know, we can be thankful for our family, but we need to be thankful for neighbors. You could just go on and on. There's so many areas this would include. And we have to make this a way of life. And also notice that it says it's the will of God. I mean, we know all of his words are the will of God, but here it states it. So it's like a double emphasis that God says, I really want my children to focus on this, on these attributes here. And so there's many areas to express our thanks in. First of all, in the realm of God, you know, as our protector, as our healer, as our provider, and on the words go, but also to individuals, those that help us, those that set a good example for us. All these many things are encompassed into this everything give thanks. So as Christians, we must show thanks not only in our words, but also in our actions, what we do. That speaks a lot. And if we claim to understand the plan of God, in other words, his greatness and all that he's doing, then we should also recognize how thankful we should be for all that, and we should improve in that. So asking God, or I should say God is asking us to go beyond the feeling of being thankful. So I can feel thankful for all of you, but if I don't express it, some of you may never even really see that. Say, well, you didn't tell me. I didn't know. So we need to express. So my focus today is expressing our gratitude. Not just feeling it in here, but letting it come out. Because the scriptures encourage us not to hold that inside. We're to share it with others. It's a positive thing. It's a good thing. And if we made a list of all the many items that we should be thankful for, I think we would be surprised at how much there is that many times in prayer we don't even cover because the list goes on and on. So I would recommend that we make a list either in our mind or on paper and then continue to add to that list. But I'll just mention a couple things. What about the freedoms that we have in this country? You know, if we lived in parts of Asia where there's a really tight control on people and they may not be able to have the freedom of religion that they would want, the freedom to travel that they would like. There's a lot of things, the freedom to worship as they really desire. There's those controls in other countries, but we still have that freedom. We may lose it one day, but it's still here. Or another physical blessing, our abundance in basically almost every area. A lot of countries can't hardly get food to the stores because of extortion and crime and all kinds of things, or just poverty in general. But you think about the food that we have, the variety of it, the abundance of it, the availability, the cost of it. It's still affordable. Some countries, there's a little bit of food, but people go, I don't have the money to buy that. So we can be thankful for all these things and many more. And I know most of us realize that we should be thankful, but that's not enough. We need to express it. That's what God's words encourage us to do. So the phrase give thanks is mentioned 44 times throughout the Bible. So not just being thankful, but to literally do something, to give thanks, to express it. And as we follow that command, we are learning more about God's way of love. He's teaching us how to be thankful. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 1 here. And God reminds us in the scriptures how man will decline prior to the return of Christ. We're starting to see some of those signs. And so Paul writes to Timothy here, and he shares what people will be like in the last days. And we're beginning to see that more and more as we watch the news or look at our communities more closely. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. That word perilous means terrible times. It can mean difficult or dangerous times. That's what God tells us. You know, there's no better source than that. He says, this is coming. And so these days are already here in places around the world. We still have relative peace in this country, but over the last year with protests and anger and all the things that are coming, we see the future days of what could happen, just as God has said. Verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. So notice the list of different attitudes that people have as times grow worse. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers. And you think, wow, that's enough right there. But it just goes on, and I'm sure this isn't all of it. But without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So why? This is why God says, come out of the world. Don't be a part of this. Don't practice these ways. And that's what we need to think about. So people will continue to increase in these sins, and yet the Bible encourages us to look to Jesus Christ, to follow his example, which wasn't any of these words. These words do not describe the character of our God and of his Son. So to be unthankful here, which is one of the words there in verse 2, unthankful, that's one of the conditions that will grow more and more in these days. And it's described as a serious sin. It's not a small matter to God. In fact, he adds it right in and includes it with sins such as brutality, pride, and blasphemy. And we can think, oh, just unthankful, that's not too bad. No, God puts all those together. And we know that these are abominations that become more prevalent in the times ahead of us. They've been throughout all history, of course. And yet being thankful teaches us to look at life in a positive way. That's what Paul was encouraging us when he writes later in Philippians, to think on these things, you know, things that are good, a good report, things that are pure and just. And yet, when you're unthankful, you're really looking at life negatively. And so as we look at our nation today, we see fewer blessings than, you know, many years ago. God's taken away things as we turn from him, and many people take these blessings for granted. So we have to consider why they will be continually stripped away, and to make sure that we don't fall into that same trend of being unthankful as the trend of our nation will continue. Let's go back to Romans and read another statement here that Paul wrote, Romans 1 and verse 20. Romans 1 and verse 20. And as you take a walk occasionally or look out your window and you see God's beautiful creation, you know, the colorful trees or the birds singing, whatever it is, we know that God did all that. And it's just beautiful. It declares his majesty and his greatness. Well, notice one of the things that ties in as things grow worse in our society. It says in verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his or God's invisible attributes are clearly seen. I mean, you can't hide it. If you drive through the mountains and you look at the peaks and the waterfalls, you know that just didn't happen on its own. It's all planned out. When the rain comes down and the animals that are, you know, in that area, God did that. So his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So the people that see and witness these things, he goes, you should know I exist. Verse 21 explains it a little more, because although they knew God, in other words, they knew about him, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Wow. See, this is where it all heads and directs if we let go of that being thankful, especially to the one who gave us life and created everything we see around us. So, brethren, one of the biggest problems in our country is ingratitude. You know, like, we have all this and we're used to it, but no one is really grateful for it anymore. It's like, I want more. This is not enough. Give me what you have, whatever the attitude is. And so this explains one reason why our nation is headed in the direction they are. Let's go down to verse 26, showing that when we don't thank the one who gave us life, look at where it can go to. For this reason, so here's one reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. And that becomes clear as we read the next verse. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. So this is the direction we're headed as a country. And we've seen it before. I mean, look at where Sodom and Gomorrah went and other nations. But God says it's going to grow worse. So we have to ask ourselves, am I thankful? Do I glorify God as it says these individuals didn't do? Because if we don't, this is where it can all lead to, these terrible sins that cause people to even draw further away from God. So we must not follow the trend of those around us. You know, we see it in the news, we see it at the schools, it's in the government, it's all growing. But it's a lot of part of it is the unthankfulness that expresses itself in various ways. So let's look at another aspect of giving thanks, and that is through our prayers. You know, we've had a message recently on prayers, how important it is, and God invites us to do that. But let's notice a few prayers and how it shows the individual's grateful heart. That's what God wants to see from us. So let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 4. First Samuel 1, verse 4. Now the background here is there's an Israelite man named Elkanah, and he has two wives. One was Hannah, and she's barren, and his other wife, Peninnah, and she has many children. So you can see the difficulties there. You know, if anybody has more than one wife, you're going to have contention there. Well, let's notice some of the contention at that time. We'll read a little few verses just to get into the story. Let's 1 Samuel 1, verse 4. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So at that time, and it's true today, but back then, the women, if you didn't have a child, your life was useless. I mean, that was your purpose for life, to have the child, to raise it, to have, you know, an offspring for your husband, because women weren't treated the same, and etc. So without a child, this lady was suffering from that on top of the comments from her husband's other wife. Now let's go down to, well, let me read one more verse. Verse 7, so it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. So Hannah is really struggling here with all that. Now I'll go down to verse 10. And it says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Now, how many parents, how many mothers would be willing to do that? You think about it. Your little child, you go, I'm just going to barely raise them up, and then I'm going to give them for the service of God. Not that that's a good purpose, but you wouldn't see your child all the time, and that's a hard thing to do. And so God does, if we read more of the story here, God does bless Hannah with a little son. His name is Samuel. And she kept him until he was weaned, and then she gives him to the priest for the service of God. And that would have been extremely difficult to do. Let's go now to chapter 2 and verse 1. As we look at her prayer, so I'm just wanting us to see the background, to think about her attitude, her gratitude for what God had done for her. Chapter 2, verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Eternal, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. So you talk about the praises here and the outlook she has. Verse 3, talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by his actions are weighed. So I could read more, but this is the attitude. This is the thankfulness she's feeling as she prays to God. Now let's go down to verse 9, and we'll look at just a few more comments she makes. Talking about God, she says, he will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Verse 11, then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Look at the mother's gratitude to God. It doesn't mention the word thanks, but you can see that that was her whole approach. That was her whole outlook towards God. And God had answered her prayer, and she gave thanks. She expressed her thanks back to him through this prayer that was recorded for us. So we need to have that, whether it's in our prayers, in our life, as we deal with those we work with, go to school with, our neighbors, the people at the store. We need to have a grateful heart and express that, you know, when appropriate. Let's look at another example on Luke 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. Having to deal with another birth of a young child, this one is Jesus Christ. And so after he is born, Joseph and Mary bring him to the temple to present him to God, as was the tradition there, that the what the parents would do. And so Luke 2 verse 25, we'll just notice two individuals here and their prayers. And once again, just look at the amount of gratitude embedded within their words to God. Luke 2 verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So this man was close to God. God showed him that. So verse 27, so he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, so here's Simeon's prayer. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, or Jesus. So you look at, once again, the words, and we can take this to heart. We can think about how we should pray to God and the thanksgiving that should come out and be expressed in our words. And now let's go down to verse 36. As another individual there in the area of the temple, there was one, verse 36, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Verse 38, and coming in the instant, so here's Jesus and his parents in the temple, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So just two individuals, but expressing, you know, whether it's Simeon or Anna, expressing their thanks to God, something that our prayers should reflect continually. And as I mentioned earlier, not just our words, but even to go further through our actions, we need to do that. Staying in Luke, let's go to chapter 18. Luke 18 and verse 9. And I bring this scripture into my notes for the purpose of, it's an example of someone who thanked God with a wrong attitude. So there's wrong ways to thank God, and we'll see it here. Luke 18, verse 9. And so Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people or other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. And he goes on to say, you know, he fasts twice a week and he pays tithes. Verse 13, and the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So totally different outlooks here. Verse 14, Christ says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. An important lesson that we see mentioned throughout the Bible. And so humility plays a huge part in everything we say and do. And so the one person was thanking God, but in a wrong way. And we have to be careful not to do that. Let's go back one chapter here in Luke 17 to verse 12. Luke 17, verse 12. It says, then he entered a certain village, and he met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, this is amazing. They weren't healed at that very instant when Jesus said that, but it's as they went to the priest. So had they not gone, they might not have been healed. But, it, you know, have you ever prayed to God for help, you know, for healing, and then later maybe forget that God answered your prayer and, like, we didn't go back to him right away? I've done that where I prayed about it, asked God for something, and it happened. And then a couple days later, I go, wait a minute, I didn't go back and thank him. So when we come to that recognition, we need to do that right away. So we know that leprosy, you know, in those days, you were required to stay a good distance away from people, and you had all these rules. Your life would be so different. You're ostracized terribly from family and friends and a normal life. And here we see that these individuals were healed. It would have meant so much to them. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. This is the attitude we should have. And it goes on to say, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? So Samaritans weren't thought of well by the community. They were considered the outcasts. And yet this individual was willing to do this. He showed his thankfulness. And so consider how hard that was. You wanted to rush to the priest to get the, you know, the verdict, let's say, that you were cleansed and you could go back into society. But he turned around and went back to Jesus to offer thanks to him. And so this Samaritan displayed, you know, 3 traits of being thankful. One is that he was prompt. He didn't put off giving thanks. So we have to make sure we don't do that. When somebody does a nice thing and we want to express that thanks, don't wait 3-4 weeks. You know, try to do it in the first couple of days, if possible. He did it with his whole heart here, which is another aspect that we need to do. Show enthusiasm. You know, just like, hey, thanks. You know, we got to put our heart into it. Like, thank you so much for what you did and how you helped out. And then notice humility. That's a third aspect when we thank people, because our attitude is important, such as we saw with the publican who said, I thank you, God. But then he didn't have the humility in that. He was doing it for the wrong reason. So these qualities need to be practiced by us as well. And when we think about these stories, they help us, they teach us, they direct us in how we should pray to God, and outside of prayer, how we should thank God and individuals. And so a lesson here is when we fail to give thanks to God, we're also failing to give God glory, as it says here. The two go together. It's a part of how we worship God. So when we humbly thank our great Creator and Ruler, we're offering him praise and glory. So we can see that Jesus was disappointed in the other 9 that didn't come, because it was a life-changing event. And if they forgot, if those 9 forgot, can't we? Have we not let down at times in that? And we can do better. So consider all the blessings that we enjoy. and how easy it is to overlook the important aspects of what we've been given, and yet we may not express that. Webster's dictionary shows a similarity between glory, praise, and offering thanks. I mean, they're very closely connected. The word thanksgiving means the act of expressing gratitude for favors or mercies, an acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness, especially to acknowledge the goodness of God. Because we know the source of all good things, the source of life, is God. You know, the planet we live on and enjoy and get the food from is from God. So most of our thanksgiving should be directed towards God. To look at a couple of these words, let's go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, and we'll just look at a couple of verses here. And notice how David was inspired. And many of these psalms, you know, how they give thanks to God. So Psalm 107, verse 1. It starts out with, "Oh, give thanks to the Eternal, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." So this is a prayer, but in a sense, it's also, to me, a command from God inspired. He put it here, showing what we should do. Verse 8, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Eternal for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." So we could read more, but look at right just there in those short section, it repeats it. And then if we looked at verse 15, verse 21, verse 31, it continues to express this idea of giving thanks to God. The word glorify means to praise, to magnify and honor in worship, in thought or words. It's the same way we thank God. We do it through our words and our actions. The word praise means to honor rendered because of excellence or worth, especially the joyful tribute of gratitude rendered to the divine being. So if you look at all three of these definitions together, they're just interconnected. I mean, if you're glorifying God, you should be thanking Him. And when you're thanking Him, you should be praising Him. They're all just like different variations of what we need to do to show our true worship of God. Back to Psalm 100, a few pages back. Psalm 100, verse 4. It says here, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving." That's how we should do. "And into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." So you can see even here how it mentions several of these words we defined and how they tie together beautifully, and yet at times we can neglect using these or offering these to God and to others. Our Father in heaven wants His children to show appreciation and to make the effort to improve as we go forward in life. The blessings that we may take for granted are sometimes the availability of our food or the roof over our heads or even our very eyesight or hearing. Some of those things that we just, until we lose them, we go, "Oh, wow, those were a very important part of my life. And since I can't see now," whatever it is, a part of our health that declines, we go, "I need to be thankful for the health I do have because others have it worse." Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we'll look at verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10. I'm sure we all thank God daily for our physical blessings. And if we don't, those blessings will eventually be taken away, just as we're going to see with our nation, and we see that with Israel. Let's just notice a few verses here. We'll begin with Deuteronomy 6, verses 10 and 11. It says, "So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full, then beware," it says. So it's easy to have all these things, just as we have many things in this country, and kind of forget, take it for granted of what's going on there. And so God wants us to recognize that, Verse 12. Then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And we could say it to us in this nation. Beware lest we forget the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even further down the line of this nation, a blessing from God. God has given us everything we have, things we don't deserve, just as the Israelites didn't. But he did do something that he asked us to continue in order to continue to receive those blessings, and that was obedience. Obedience. And God gives us everything. You know, think about even the education we have available in this country. A lot of countries, that's not available to the women or to everyone because the cost is so high. Or consider the health we have. You know, others with bigger problems. You know, yesterday I read a prayer request that came out. I'll just read it to you. I summarized it down. This is for a lady in Texas. Her name is Melissa Puzarov. This is what her oncologist stated. He said that he has been praying that God would help him figure out her situation, her health. Melissa's body is being assailed by cancer. She has it in her brain, her spine, her bones, her liver, her uterus, her lymphatic system, and possibly her throat and other places. She is currently having trouble talking and swallowing. She is wasting away and often in extreme pain, having lost in excess of 40 pounds in just a few weeks and unable to walk. Her situation is dire, and only God can save her. So if you think about somebody in a worse condition, this lady definitely, we wouldn't be here if we were in her condition. So we have to be thankful for the conditions we even do have and also look to God to heal individuals like this. So there's a lot to think about. I mentioned education and health, our home. You know, there's so many people that are homeless, not only in this nation, but around the world. Refugees living in, you know, a camp of tents and no bathroom, no heat, no air conditioner, you know, just the conditions. We have so much to be grateful for. But in order to keep it, let's look at verse 24 here of Deuteronomy 6. Because this is what God commanded Israel to do and what he's asking our nation and everyone to do. Verse 24 of Deuteronomy 6, and the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. So just as Israel had so much, they eventually lost it. They went into captivity. This country is headed in the same direction. Therefore, our obedience reflects our gratitude. You know, as we obey the one who gave us life, we should, out of respect, we go, we will do what you tell us to do, because we recognize it's for our own good. So it's vital for us to look at life positively. I'll just mention that man has studied this topic of gratitude quite a bit. And if you look out there and read about it, they've scientifically proven that there are added benefits for having gratitude. Now, I won't go into all those, but let me just mention a couple. You know, when we're grateful, it improves our relationships. And that's understandable, isn't it? I mean, if you're telling somebody thank you instead of putting them down, you're not going to be pushing that person away. It increases our mental health. It improves our physical and psychological health. It reduces aggression. And it also, they found, it helps people sleep better. So these are just some of the things that gratitude produces. And God is saying, my children, please be more grateful. He's really saying, I want all these benefits to be upon you, because this is what they lead to. Turn with me next to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6. So, giving of thanks, as we're told to do, is really a requirement. And as we ask God for his blessings, for his healing, for his direction in life, we must ask with a proper attitude. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be anxious. In other words, he's saying, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So if we're willing to do that, notice what God says he'll do. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We have to look at prayer not as a chore, like, oh, I have to say my prayers again. No, it's a blessing. It's a benefit. That's what God is saying. He's saying it's a privilege. So whether we go to petition him on something we're worried about or go to thank him, it's a great honor to be able to approach God in that way. and to consider that we can go to him anytime, any hour, any day, and ask any question for any reason. I mean, it just goes on and on. It's like, God, how great you are. You're saying he invites us to do that. So we need to offer thanks as we, you know, supplicate God, or as we go to him and make requests, as it says here, but he's willing to bless us for that. Notice verse 11 here, what Paul writes. We skip over the things he tells us to think on, very positive things, and then he says, not that I speak in regard to need, verse 11, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. A part of being thankful is to be content with what we have. It doesn't mean you can't work hard, achieve more, but it's the idea of whatever I have is not enough, and oh, the neighbor has the bigger car, and they have the bigger house, and they have, I want that. It tends to show an ungrateful heart, because we want more, and God says, no, I haven't blessed you with that, or you haven't worked for it. And so whether it's the newest phone or iPad or all the things that are pushed that people get or we see on the commercials, we have to be grateful for what we have and then in a proper way move forward, working hard and balancing out our budget to have those things. And the more grateful we are, the less envious of others' possessions, of their accomplishments, of their positions we will be. A lot of people live a life just like that. They're ungrateful, so they're always saying, oh, they don't deserve that. I should have that. And they never get ahead. They have a wrong outlook. Turn with me next back a few pages here to Ephesians chapter 1. And much of what I've been talking about so far is physical blessings. You know, the food, the home, the health, etc. But consider our spiritual blessings. You know, we've been called here to be children of God. And he's working with us. And we've been offered a lot on a spiritual level. Now, let me just mention a couple. Just think about the fact that we've been invited. Out of all the people on earth, at this time, we are sitting here because we've been invited by God to have our minds open, to hear his truth, and to grow. We have the knowledge of his plan. And yet we know God says he desires all to be saved. So all, meaning everyone else, he has a plan to bring them in as well. It's just a time frame, an order that he set out. When we consider spiritual blessings such as the armor of God, doesn't mean we always wear it, but it's available to us. The angels, we can't see, but they're around us if we ask for that and we're walking properly. God says, I'm willing to allow those ministering spirits to serve you, as he writes in Hebrews. Just to have this book here, the Bible, that all of us can take for granted, but it's a great spiritual blessing that God offers us. People all over the world have it in their homes, but we can understand it to a deeper level because of God's inspiration. Just think about our calling, our baptism, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, the opportunity for forgiveness and mercy and patience, that we've been offered salvation, that we're invited to be the children of God, that we're going to inherit the universe, we're going to become the bride of Christ, and it goes on and on, that God says, I want all these things for you, and you're going to live forever with spiritual bodies, without the pain and the hunger and the suffering. So let's notice here in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. All those things I mentioned and more are from our great God. He is saying, I want these for you. I'm willing to offer them. I'm waiting for you to, you know, ask for them and to respect me for giving them. Notice verse 9. One of the things he does, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. God is revealing things to us that we cannot see apart from his, you know, divine intervention to open our minds and show us how to live. Verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you. So here Paul is praying for the brethren, something that we should do, to give thanks for one another. So he says, I do not cease to make mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now, I recommend you read all that again on your own, because I just read through that and it says so much. You almost need to stop and reflect on every word and how much God is giving to us. So how grateful are we for our brethren? You know, if you never go up and talk to a person, if you never encourage them, maybe we're not as grateful as we should be. God says, express our thankfulness to both him and to others. And it's easy to overlook certain blessings because we become so familiar with them. Like the home I have, you know, I'm just used to it. It's there every day, that roof over my head. No, there's people on the streets. And I'm going, wow, I need to be thankful for that and never take it for granted. Even meeting here as a congregation, to be able to talk with someone else that believes as I do, that has the same understanding. We have, maybe have little varying ideas about it, but overall we believe in the plan of God, his purpose, his laws. That's so wonderful of a blessing to be able to discuss that openly. Whereas on the street, if you do that, they're going to go, what? You know, maybe they practice some other weird religion. So we can be very thankful for that. Let's look at one final scripture here in Colossians 2 and verse 6. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. You know, Paul mentioned earlier, he said, in everything give thanks. So we've discussed that a little bit in our prayers, etc. But he adds a step here to how we give thanks. Colossians 2 and verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now here's how we do it. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So we're walking with Christ in this way, and he tells us to not only be thankful and to express it, but he says to abound in it. That means to increase in it. It means to excel in it. Are we doing that? Because this should be our focus, and we have the opportunity to grow now in this. You know, don't wait till your last breath to start factoring this into your life. And this Sabbath service gives us an opportunity to grow in expressing our thanks. And if we don't practice these things here among people of, you know, same mind, same concepts, that if we don't do it here, it's going to be even harder out in the world. So this is a good growing ground for developing this habit. I mean, you can thank people for the jobs they do here, whether it's sound system or flowers or somebody that greets or whatever they do. I mean, just for their song leading. There's so many things to thank people for, even how the example they set, or some words, encouraging words. Thank them for, well, I hadn't thought of it that way. Thank you for offering that. And we have the opportunity to encourage someone with a simple expression of gratitude. It doesn't take much effort, does it? We don't have to go get dressed for it and go out and really get ready for this. It comes out if it's in here. And so we need to tell others as well, besides here, our mates, our friends, our family. We need to be practicing in this in our life, whether it's expressing thanks through a card, through an email, by calling them. We don't always know when someone's discouraged, when they're really down and willing to give up almost, like, I just can't take it anymore. So a simple word can really help. We can brighten up a person's day. So are we developing a grateful heart? Because the more we develop that, the more we can share that with others. So in conclusion, brethren, there's a lot to give thanks for, isn't there? I mean, we've just touched on a little bit, a few examples in prayer and examples throughout the Bible of how people talked with God, of others, how they treat each other. We need to be thankful because there's the physical blessings. So many of those, we touched on a few of them. So many spiritual blessings that God is willing to offer to us continually. And what it comes down to is the choice is ours. You know, really, you and I decide whether we want to be grateful. And we can look at society, and if we follow their trend, and it's going to get worse, as the scriptures say, people are going to be more and more unthankful. We don't want to walk that way. We want to follow Christ and be even more thankful. In fact, we want to abound in it, as it says here. That's what we need to practice in our life. So if you have the opportunity, make a list on paper or in your mind, and write down some of those blessings, some of those items that God has done for us and others have done, so that those physical and spiritual blessings, that we recognize them more, that we can literally give thanks for them more. And then we can continually add to that list, because there are items that we, if I named right off the top of my head, I'd probably add more tomorrow and next week. But I didn't even think of that blessing. So as we try to do this, God is inviting us to grow to be more like Him all throughout the year, not just this week of Thanksgiving, not just the day of Thanksgiving, but every hour of every day. God is saying He wants us to have a grateful heart and to express our gratitude both to Him, first and foremost, you know, the Father and the Son, but also to everyone, you know, whether it's the community, our brethren, our neighbors, our mates. God says to do that. So let's work on that. Let's improve in that, because that's the admonition that God is giving to His children, to really grow and expressing our thanks for all that we have received and all that God has done.